All right, here we go. Welcome to the Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I'm your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church in Amati, California. Joined by the fundamentalists in our church, Brother Marco Sanchez, Brother Ray Flores, and Brother Adam Kanzari. Looking forward to a great episode tonight. It's actually the last episode of 2020. And so we had a good run this year. People seem to like the podcast quite a bit. And we got more episodes on the way in 2021, but we got some interesting topics that we're going to be discussing tonight. We're going to be talking about Hitler and the parallels between him and, I was going to say, Brother Trump.
Brother Trump.
Brother Trump.
That's what
and Trump, the Trump administration.
Brother Trump.
And we're going to talk about fear-mongering through the media and how people are just kind of losing their minds because of the whole coronavirus vaccine and what to do about that. And then we're going to have a discussion about old prophets, more specifically old pastors who have no longer, or who have decided to no longer fight. And, you know, the compromise that's taking place in a lot of these churches with a lot of these so-called men of God who are not only capitulating, but they're even joining forces and creating alliances with wicked individuals and false prophets. And so I think that's it, right? Is there anything else we were planning to talk about tonight? Let's see here. Memes.
Yeah.
Supposed to discuss the memestry. Looking forward to a great episode. Gentlemen, ready?
Yep.
Yep. So I just got finished reading the book, The Gallic Wars, Julius Caesar.
Yeah, I listened to it.
It's a very interesting book.
Yep.
It's crazy that this guy was a real person, you know?
It's crazy that you could live that type of life.
Yeah. The thing is like, obviously, because he was around over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago.
I thought you were going to say he was around for like 2,000 years. I'm like, what?
He was here like over 2,000, in this world over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So obviously life was a lot different back then, but it's like doubly different because of the fact that he's like on the other side of the world. So obviously people who are there, who are in that part of the world now, they live a different life than we'd live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's way different than America. You know what I mean? The weather, the climate, the culture, the language, everything is different. But then you multiply that by 2,000 years. It's like it's even crazier. But the Gallic Wars, it's very interesting. That campaign against the
Gauls. It's, right?
Yeah.
Living in America is in this modern world is strange because throughout history you would live in a nation and the whole nation would be of one race, of one ethnicity, one nation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like every nation was against other nations. So it's like all the Romans, they're like, they're all Roman. So they're going into like, they're crossing into the Gaul.
But they're converting people to become their nation.
And they're like from a different nation. So you like, they have kind of have less inclination, like when they're killing them, when they're warring with people, it's like, who cares? It's like, well, it's us against them.
A big reason the Roman Empire fell, actually, and they teach this in like public schools and stuff, is because when, like, way after Julius Caesar, like hundreds of years after that, they started letting in non-Romans into like the legions, so they could like keep fueling their like war machine.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
So like ethnically, like not non-Romans,
the barbarians.
Yeah, they made legions of foreigners.
Mm-hmm. So. Legions of foreigners, and they would intermingle like the legions of foreigners with the Roman legions, and then there was all sorts of problems, mm-hmm. and that indirectly led to the collapse.
They would produce these traitors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that famous story of Arminius.
Yeah, and those people weren't paid the same way either. You know, they're kind of just under tribute, basically.
Yeah, Arminius was like, he was basically kidnapped by the Romans from Gaul or whatever, the Gauls, and he was trained as a Roman soldier. He ended up becoming like, you know, he ended up having a position of authority, and then they sent him back to his hometown to basically regulate that area, and then he turned on the Romans and he like slaughtered them.
That happened. Yep. It happened in the British Isles.
It's an amazing story. Really,
the British Isles. Because like the British Isles, they pretty much conquered it, but they couldn't just hold on to it. They had all sorts of rebellions.
It's too far.
Roman like generals would just like declare themselves like emperor and like in the British Isles and stuff all the time. And then they just gave up and left because they just hated it so much.
Well, Arminius, if I'm not mistaken, like he slaughtered the Romans so bad with him and all the tribes that Rome began to like have trouble conquering those, going up to the Rhine or whatever. Like they had trouble expanding further.
They never crossed the Rhine.
Because of that.
Yeah.
And he ended up, no one really knows what happened to that guy, but he like led a major rebellion. And the thing is, like those Germans. People in those areas, they're very independent. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to like kind of gather them together. He had to like lead leaders and convince them like, hey, follow me to go against the Romans, mm-hmm. you know?
That's what Boudica did in
Boudica, yeah. That's a lady, right?
Yeah. She was like brutally killed though. She was dead. Yeah. They squashed it. But she did the same thing with the Celts in in like the British Isles somewhere.
Yeah, they did her dirty too, man. Like, because you know the Romans would come and just completely pillage land and just rape the women and mm-hmm. take their children, and that's what happened to her. And she was brutally destroyed. But it's just weird though, like this lady leading a rebellion and everything.
Well, the Celts were super like wicked people. They were basically that's like where Druidism, like pagan Druidism, comes from,
mm-hmm.
and all sorts of they had all sorts of like. Like wickedness, like sexually, and all this stuff.
Yeah, they're like uncivilized.
So Arminius,
they lived in like swamps.
Like the Romans were pagans, but they were civilized in a way, you know.
Yeah.
Arminius was a Roman officer and later chieftain of the Germanic Cherusci tribe, who is best known for the commanding an alliance of Germanic tribes at the Battle of Teutoburg Forest in 9 A.D., in which three Roman legions under the command of General Publius Quintilius Varus was destroyed. And the only reason they were able to destroy him is because of the fact that they used the woods as their advantage. Because mm-hmm. they knew the woods. It was because obviously the Romans are mm-hmm. fit fighters. They know how to...
But they didn't know the terrain, basically.
They didn't know the terrain. They basically went back
and
into the
woods. And those are guerrilla tactics. Those are... Yeah.
They were like proto-guerrilla tactics. Yeah.
And a lot of them were afraid. The Romans were scared of the barbarians to a certain extent. Because these guys would like fight naked. Yeah. They're very large and massive.
If someone comes at me naked, I'm not fighting.
You know, they were very... they're barbaric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the book that I was reading or that I was listening to about Julius Caesar and the Gallic Wars, he talks about how, you know, a lot of his soldiers feared the barbarians because of the fact that they were very large and barbaric. Mm-hmm. And he said that they would not eat corn. They would refuse imported wine mm-hmm. because it would effeminize the mind and make them weak.
And like the size of Italians versus Germans is like it's a big different size difference.
You know where the word like berserk comes from, right?
Well, I heard that's actually like proven false.
What was proven false?
That berserker came from like those barbarians.
Well, it did.
It
came from a name of like a warrior in like I think it was in Sweden, but they're Germanics too. And what it is they would enter these like blood like rituals mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure they'd come under, like, because these were, like, the chief warriors. They would come under some sort of, like, demonic possession where they would have this like, bloodlust, this, like, blood rage. And what they called it, like, the Germanics in Sweden, they'd say, like, they were, like, part animal, part man. Mm. And when they go into, like, that mode or whatever.
They go berserk.
They go berserk, essentially.
And I heard that word that didn't exist back then. That was more of a term that they came up with later on. But I don't know.
I mean, they might have used a different word for it, but that doesn't like change the fact that that's something.
It changes it. No, I'm just kidding. it's changed. I'm just kidding. It could be. I mean, these people were crazy, man. Mm-hmm. And these tribes, they didn't really know how to fight. They were just like barbaric. But you know what's interesting about that is that obviously that's like a political campaign that Rome set forth to conquer the barbarians, whereas Paul wanted to reach the barbarians.
Yeah.
You know? He said he was a debtor to them. So, and Paul was a Roman. So Paul, you know, had Roman citizenship. He was born a Roman.
This is like right after that, too.
That's right
this
after
like
that.
100, like within 100 years
after that. So it's like, it's almost like today in the Muslims, you know?
Yeah.
Like how Americans view Muslims. It's just like, oh, just bomb them, bunch of barbaric people.
No acid.
Whereas like God has a heart. To win them to Christ, you know? And it's funny because the Romans wanted to appease the Jews in those days, right?
There was actually some Muslim attack, too, today.
today?
In Yemen, they set up a new, like a new government came in, and they're like on the side of Saudi Arabia with those peace treaties with Israel and stuff. And like, they're probably gonna sign on with Yemen to those Israeli peace treaties. Mm. But then, like, when these people, they went to Saudi Arabia to go see the Crown Prince. When they arrived on the tarmac in the plane, like 23 officials, there was like a crowd outside, and then they got rocketed on the tarmac, airport tarmac. They got rocketed by Yemeni fighters, basically.
You know, that actually reminds me what you were just saying about, like, reaching the Muslims or whatever. In the first or the second Gulf War, I don't know if it was a Gulf War, actually. It was just the Iraq War with, like, Bush Jr. Saddam brought in a certain church, and he gave that, it was a Baptist church, and he gave that church the sole authority to, like, evangelize in Iraq. But wow. Do you know what church it was?
What?
Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, man. What?
Yeah, and the reason for that, they were the only church allowed.
The only church against gays?
that was a big thing, and they would preach against America.
Oh, I see.
Right?
That's why they liked them?
Yeah, so Saddam liked them. So he let them come to Iraq in, like, Baghdad and, like, all the major cities and, like, preach against America, and he gave them, like, full range to do whatever they want. They could evangelize, right? They obviously weren't saved. But, like, that was making me think, I mean, if, like, the new IFB movement even the old IFB movement was still on fire, like, in the early 2000s when that war was going on, that could have been some actual saved men of God who get invited.
There's Christian
this, like,
neighborhoods in Iraq.
Were you the one who sent me that article?
About what? The Hitler one?
Yeah, the Hitler
one.
Yeah,
I sent you that.
I thought that was very interesting.
It was, yeah.
It was, he was telling me about, let's see here. It wasn't that long ago. It says, the timing of Baptist World Congress bolstered Hitler. 2 days before it began, German President Paul von Hindenburg died, and Hitler, formerly the chancellor, became Germany's absolute dictator. In an attempt to demonstrate an acceptance of Christianity before the world, the backdrop of BWA speaker's platform included a giant swastika flag, a cross, and portraits of famous Baptists.
BWA is the Baptist World Congress.
Fraternal relations between Baptists and Nazis extended beyond the BWA meeting. Although German Baptists suffered persecution for 100 years before Hitler's rise, Nazis used the police to protect Baptists from harassment and granted them favorable locations for ministry. Mm-hmm. Baptist evangelistic work expanded under the Nazi government, and when the Gestapo forced Pentecostal and Plymouth Brethren denominations to disband, some of their congregations joined the German Baptist Union, swelling its membership. So Baptist humbled by failure to oppose
Nazis. A lot of the things he did were talked about. I mean, he's calling out the Jew bankers. He's calling out their media operations. Like the part I was in listening to in his book.
Talk
right
about
now,
Hitler.
He's like, he's calling out how the media works, mm-hmm. and like, dude. I mean, the guy was on point, but he's just like how Trump is right now. He's just calling out all the evils in the world.
You can actually draw a lot of parallels between,
like, Hitler and
not even just that, but
Trump,
but pre-Hitler Germany and pre-Trump America, or the America that we're living in right now. And that,
yeah, because
the Weimar Republic is what it's called before Hitler took
rise. In the 1870s. Basically, the same thing was happening, and two movements rose up: the Pan-German movement, and then, which is like all German people,
Austria
should be united, mm-hmm. all German-speaking people, and then the Christian, it's like the Christian German, Christian Socialist Party in Germany, mm-hmm. also rose up, and he followed the example of those two guys that started it, and then like built off of their failures to make his success. Basically, he's like he studied those guys, what they did. Where they failed at, and he was able to build upon that, and he was influenced heavily by them. Mm. Because for him, it wasn't really social. He was a nationalist, but he used socialism as his means to rebuild the economy, because in the state that they were in, that's what worked best.
It was like an economic
miracle. So it wasn't like he was like against capitalism or against this. He just used what he needed, what would be the most effective method at the time to pull Germany out of the crisis that they were in.
He was pragmatic.
Yeah, which was the crashing of the mark. Which is crazy because when the world goes into a economic depression and Germany gets like the worst of it because they lost World War II and they had to pay reparations to France, mm-hmm. and Britain, and they were collecting money from them, and they took like a lot of their land, and they took took their military from them.
They
lowered their military. Yeah, dude. So like all these bad things happened to them, and because of that, and it's crazy because they had hyperinflation. It would cost like 500,000 marks for a loaf of bread.
A barrel of marks for like a loaf of bread.
Basically. For a loaf of bread, yeah, you couldn't even carry it in wheelbarrows to buy a loaf of bread.
And then the next
hyperinflation, it was called the mark. Their currency was called the mark.
That's weird.
And then Hitler takes over. This guy just has a rallying of all these people. Everyone's behind him. Mm-hmm. Because he's calling out the evil.
Are you trying to parallel to him and Trump or something? Or what?
Well, he was like even more effective than him because he's like, I mean, the guy was about what he's saying. Like, he wasn't wiggling around it at all.
You're talking about Hitler.
What Hitler was doing, like, he was saying it and then he was walking the walk. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like Trump right now, like, I mean, you know? Right now there's like two parties that are like kind of like super, like, kind of powerful. You know, like, they basically, like, you know, you got the Republican Party or like the right wing and then you got the left wing. They're like, kind of against each other, so it's like kind of division right there. And then like you got Trump trying to like bring the economy back to the United States, like to like 100% again. But that's like the same thing what Hitler was doing.
Through the stimulus,
yeah, he's stimulating the economy with all the stimulus checks.
Yeah,
still haven't got mine, Trump.
You promised me 2,000.
I'll give you my routing number right here. It's one.
So obviously he's not going to concede, right?
I don't think he's going to concede.
No,
but is he going to leave office?
Hey, well, you know that Christmas Day bombing. Mm-hmm. Well, the building that they blew up had like, that's like one of the headquarters for those freaking voting machines or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it AT&T? Like,
That was a weird bombing.
Yeah.
The guy who did it was like alarming people and giving them like 15 minutes to clear the area. No one died, obviously, which is good.
They think he might have died in the explosion.
Okay. So,
they say he did.
So, this is from a super left wing liberal guy, right? This guy, Tariq Nasheed. If you're on Twitter,
I know who that is.
He said, this might just be a strange coincidence, but the ATT building in Nashville that was blown up today was owned by Cerebus Capital, owners of Dominion Voting Systems, the company. Many people are accusing of voter fraud are former executives of Cerebus.
Hmm.
And this guy's like hardcore left wing. He's like one of those black supremacists.
He's like a black nationalist.
Yeah, he's like a black nationalist.
So what's going to happen? What is going to happen?
He keeps tweeting, like, see you January 6th in D.C.
It's not going to go smoothly. That's not happening.
Yeah, there's not going to be a peaceful transfer of power.
So this is where
but what does that mean?
So this is crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Is there going to be like a civil war?
The new Gallic Wars.
Well, this is...
In Mein Kampf, he talks about how them, what they did was even though they kind of took over in this bad way, the opposing side, the anti-nationalists, he's like, but it was good because that's what rose the spirit of it. When they made being for your own country a rebel, you're a rebel to be for your own country. Mm-hmm. When the people in the government and the people who loved their country were in complete opposition to each other. He said, "That's the best gift they ever gave us."
Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
Because that's what gave us the rise. That's what gave the nationalist spirit the rise. Like that's what made it possible for him to come in and take over.
You know what happened after that?
Hold on. What happened after that?
A man rose up and wielded all that power. So the power, all these people were saying, now they felt this guy just pushed his weight. He was in the right place in the right time, and he.
Was that an immediate thing that took place?
Over a span of a couple years? It took some years for that to happen.
He won a bunch of elections. He won like two or three
elections. Yeah, yeah. Well, he got into the government, then he got locked up, and then he came out. Then he had more power because he became a martyr. You know, he became a fighter for them. Mm-hmm. He did time for them.
That's where he wrote the book. There's actually a news article in America after he gets put in jail that says something along the lines of like Hitler humbled. After the failed Munich putsch or whatever, the newspaper article says like, oh, Hitler gave up. He conceded. He's going to go back to live a life of nothing in Austria. Yeah, right. But obviously that's not how it happened.
Dude, he went to war with all the evils in the world.
I also want to draw a parallel.
This is crazy.
About what Ray was just saying, how like when they make you loving your country or you being like a patriot for your country, that makes you the enemy. What's really interesting is because in the most recent stimulus bill, if you like divide it up, like exactly like how much money is going to Americans and in America or to American infrastructure, and how much money is going to outside people, it's like $500 billion.
Well, people found out about that; they were like really mad about that.
And that's what Ray's talking about.
That's like never happened before, right? Where like people were like
not just even Israel,
where like the public knows how much money is actually going out to different nations.
Yeah, like people have found out about it. Or like, idiots, like they knew about it. They're like, man, they're ripping us off. Man, we should have voted for Trump.
Yeah,
it's like
that's exactly what Ray's talking about. Like, this is the perfect
storm. But that has to be planned out, you know what I mean, for that.
It just texted me.
Speaking of social media, you know it's a great outlet to relieve stress is making memes.
Yes.
The memestry is the best.
I haven't been making any in a while.
Why?
Because I'm kicked off of Facebook again. I did 30 days. I got out, and now I'm doing another 30 days.
Hold on, my ear's like... They like pop.
Oh, you're bleeding.
That like hurt, actually.
You're bleeding.
So you got kicked off of Facebook?
Yeah, I got kicked off. I got out on bail, and I'm obviously guilty of what they charged me with.
Yeah.
So I knew I was gonna go back in jail eventually, and then someone got into one little argument with me.
So you're like,
well, they said I was liberal or something because the gospel, because the free gospel. And I was like, liberal. I was like, your church is probably liberal. We think fags should get stoned. And I was like,
God. Should have spelled fags.
And now, now I have two profiles. And before it would be like, if you get one locked up, you could go to the other one. But now if it's on the same phone, they track you down.
On the same phone?
Yeah, two profiles on the same phone. So like the other one, it doesn't pop up that I'm banned. But if I try to like something, it just disappears.
Do you use the same phone
number?
If I
try to comment, it just doesn't go through.
What?
Do you use the same phone number?
Bro,
no. I think it's the IP.
One of them's on, they're on two different emails.
It doesn't matter, but if it's on the same phone number, that's how they...
There's no phone number associated with them.
Well, look, I mean, Pastor Anderson has two, or he has a couple, but I know that when he got on, went on Facebook jail or whatever, he had another account.
Yeah.
So was that on the same phone?
Yeah, but that was, it used to be, that's why I have two accounts.
But that was recently. Now, that was recently.
Because he's probably got one on the computer, one on his phone. He's probably got it mapped out.
It's interesting.
He's got a whole computer's around.
People get offended at memes.
Yeah.
They get
people
mad.
Are just offended at people.
Snowflakes.
These guys are emotional, dude.
It's funny. Snowflakes. The people that don't like memes are the ones that can't make memes.
Well, it's either the people who can't make memes or the ones that are being memed about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are they not even being memed about?
You know
about?
What I mean?
Are they not being memed about? And then they get up and they're like, you think I'm just going to, you know, if I got up and just talked about other churches, pastors, some people here would like it, but other people would be like, why did I come to church today? He's like doing what he's talking about. He's like, but he's talking about some other church's pastor.
It's annoying, man. I made a meme the other day.
You made a couple memes.
I made a couple memes, and they're pretty popular right now. People love them. And they're like,
this little kid with a gun.
Oh, that's how I felt inside, man. Had to put the boy down.
It's messed up.
Old yaller.
Yeah, and there's someone commented, and they're like, do you think it's right to make fun of, or they say, do you think it's right to mock men of God? And I just, I shot them the verse where Elijah mocked the false prophets.
Yeah.
Well, then he killed them.
That's another story. I mean, we're taking, verse, well, I mean, I can't do that.
Yeah, but that's another verse.
Yeah. He rained fire down upon them.
No, he didn't rain fire.
No, he didn't rain fire on him. He rained fire on the
on, sacrifice. On the sacrifices, yeah, sacrifice. And then he just had the others slaughtered.
That's true.
Yeah, but that was his form of that was his meme. That was Elijah's meme.
Yeah, he mocked them though. It was like,
that's what I'm
like,
saying.
Hey,
that was his meme.
Is your God pooping? Is he sleeping?
What the heck, bro? Is that like the NIV version?
Yeah,
it is. Poop?
The New York version?
I know it is because I just seen a meme where they put that. It was like NIV version, and they put, is he pooping? Is he sleeping?
Really?
It's some girl or someone made that. I was on TikTok. Where'd you see it?
TikTok.
TikTok.
I think they communicate truths very well.
Mm-hmm.
Memes. I made one where... you know that guy's all sweaty. He's trying to push two buttons. Yeah. Or he's trying to figure out what button to push. And it was about Manly Perry. And it said, you know, Pastor Anderson went soul with an unsaved Calvinist. And then Hillel's like, unsaved people get people saved. Yeah. So which one is it?
These guys are so dumb.
Why is it a big
deal? I got
deal?
It from you. You did. I got the idea from you.
Why is it such a big deal if Pastor Anderson goes with like somebody who speaks Greek who's unsaved?
Yeah, yeah, didn't he get people saved?
Yeah, didn't he do a great work? Wasn't he like a superstar?
Yeah, according to you? So if he's not saved and he was lying about the gospel,
according to
the more unsaved you are,
the more saved they are, the more wicked they are, the greater superstar they can become.
He's probably a superstar. That's why nobody suspects him.
Yep. Are you talking about Manly Perry?
No, that guy.
Oh, that guy.
Which I don't really care for that guy.
Johansson? Dane Johansson? I mean,
I don't know him. But.
I met him. He seems like a cool guy. Seems to know the New Testament
is
very
that,
well.
Is that the guy he went soul winning with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know his name.
I mean, he's not like one of us, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not an independent fundamental Baptist, but he uses the King James Bible. He knows the Greek New Testament. You know, he believes in the right salvation. Obviously, you know, Calvinism is a stupid doctrine.
Yeah.
No one's arguing against that.
You know what's actually interesting? I was reading some stuff about, like, John Calvin. And the modern-day Calvinists or, like, reform people that call themselves, like, oh, we come from the ideas of John Calvin. John Calvin didn't – he's, like, in complete disagreement with, like, modern Calvinists. It's really, really interesting. They take his namesake – but in a lot of John Calvin's books, he talks about how, like,
I don't know if that's true.
The gospel, look it up. The gospel was like offered freely to everybody. He says something like that.
Yeah, but I've seen writings of his where he says that, but then he also says that they're predestined and that they're elected.
Sounds like how Calvinists talk. They say
both. They just kind of talk out of both sides of their mouth.
Yeah, because I've heard Calvinists say that before too. Like, it's free to everybody, but unless you're chosen.
I'm saying like when you you talk to someone, but then you corner them. Mm-hmm. And then they tell you what they really believe.
Mm. Well, it's the same. And that might be the case, but it's the same with a lot of like Protestant denominations. Same thing with Luther. Like modern day Lutherans don't really believe anything Luther taught.
That is true.
It's like completely different.
Yeah, they don't. They're not about replacement theology for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Luther was a major.
It's like modern day Christians. They don't really believe anything that Jesus taught.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're actually offended at what Jesus.
The further you get away from the source, like the just more whack it becomes.
Yeah,
it dilutes.
Or sometimes the older you get,
it's
just the older you get. You know, because you have these old prophets in the Bible, who the older they got, the more liberal they became in their views.
Yeah.
When we say liberal, we're not referring to like generous, the biblical definition of liberal. We're just talking about loose. You know what I mean? Compromising.
Not cheap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you have Eli,
yep,
the fat prophet in the book of Judges, not book of Judges, excuse me, the book of 1 Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the judges, but he, you know, this guy, he produced two reprobate sons, Hophni and Phinehas. He was overweight, so that means he was into gluttony, and the Bible says that his eyes began to wax dim, so physically speaking and spiritually. And the word of God was precious in those days, so it was like scarce. You know, there was no open vision, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And the reason there's no open vision is because of the fact that the man of God is not walking with God.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't even restrain his own kids. He couldn't lead his household. He didn't know how to preach the word of God. I mean, this guy was just like old, and he's just dying out. He's just compromising, you know. And so you have examples of prophets in the Old Testament that just kind of put the vehicle on cruise control. They stop standing for truth, and God has to replace them with a Samuel.
Yep.
Right? Because then God came to Samuel and started calling out his name, and then God told Samuel that he was going to bring judgment upon Eli's house. And Eli's like, you know, hey, tell me what he said. And he's just like, God's going to destroy you and your house. By the way, you know, Samuel's probably a young guy during that time, and God had no problem being explicit of what he was going to do to Eli in that vision, you know?
It's the same thing when Samuel gets older, too.
Yeah.
He's kept the same spirit the whole time. He's, hacking people in pieces. He's telling Saul, he's like, he's done, bro.
He's hacking Agag. He's hewing him in pieces.
Even after he died and then they try to have a vision with him, he's still the same guy.
You know what I mean? That's right. Yeah, he comes back from heaven and he's just like, tomorrow thou and thy son shall be with me. Yeah. He's still prophesying.
You're going to die.
He being dead yet speaketh.
Yeah.
Literally.
The crazy thing about Samuel. The crazy thing about Samuel, like, you know, hearing the word of God is like, he kept going to Eli and he's like, hey, did you call me? And he was like, no. And then, like, it took, like, Eli, like, three times, basically.
To discern. Yeah. It's like, oh, that it was the voice of the Lord.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it just shows you how, like, far away he was from God that he, he didn't even know that.
Yeah, and the Bible specifically says that his eyes began to wax dim. Mm-hmm. And obviously that means, like, he's physically unable to see, but it's a spiritual representation of his discernment. Mm-hmm. He was no longer able to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Obviously, he couldn't see. His sons were reprobates.
Yeah.
You know, and his sons were sons of Belial. They weren't even his sons anymore, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But then you have like a Moses who he's old and he's getting ready to die, and his eyes were not waxed dim, nor was his force abated. Mm-hmm. And I believe that was not just physically true, but also spiritually true. Because it should be that as you grow old, you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Your eyes are enlightened. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that if these things abound in you, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful? You know, but he that lacketh these things is blinded and cannot see afar off.
Yeah.
So that means, like, Moses was growing to the very last day. That's why he wasn't blind. That's why he could see, you know. And he was still strong in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Caleb. Same thing with Joshua.
Yeah, Caleb. He's like, hey, I still have the same strength as when I went into the.
David was strong to the very end.
Yeah.
Solomon wasn't. Yeah. Solomon, you know, compromised at the very end. You have the old prophet who's nameless, who led the young prophet astray in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the young prophet knew, like you were saying, knew what the Bible said.
He knew what God told him. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the old prophet, go ahead, you tell it. You're telling
the
me
old
earlier.
Prophet comes and he, first of all, he lies to him about God's word. He lies to him. So he's willing to lie about what God said.
Yeah, he says, like,
willing
an to angel lie about came God's to
word.
Him. Yeah.
So he's willing to lie about the word of God.
Stand in judgment of God's word. Yeah.
And then the young prophet, he gives him reverence because he's an old prophet. So just because he's an old prophet, he has respect into him. So he just said, like, well, it doesn't. Well, I'm just gonna go with it.
It's like David.
He's an old prophet, so that's why it's like just because they're an older pastor, older prophet, it doesn't necessarily mean if they're going against God's word, what God told you, what you read in your Bible.
Yeah,
it's
old
like,
people.
It's like you shouldn't follow.
Older
them.
People are a crown of glory
if they
be found in the way of righteousness. Mm-hmm. So they should be respected and, you know, obeyed, you know, to a certain extent if they're found in the way of righteousness. Mm-hmm. But if you have some old guy who's gone astray, they are lying about the word of God, they're acting like they know the Bible, and they're trying to lead the younger generation astray, that's not godly, you know. God's done with an individual.
Because
like that.
Where's this older prophet? Well, Jehoshaphat, right? Jeroboam.
This is Jeroboam. The time of
Jeroboam. Well, Jeroboam's building these calves, he's everybody's worshiping these calves, and it's like in Where's this old prophet at? He's there in that city. Why isn't he taking care of this?
Right.
He's not doing it. He's not fighting.
Yep. He's an old and, it's like the Bible says, an old and foolish king who would no longer be admonished. And the only time he gets involved is to lead the young prophet astray. Isn't that interesting?
Yep.
The only time you want to take a stand is when he's trying to lead the young prophet astray.
Because he hears about him coming to the city. This young prophet comes to the city. He preaches a hard sermon. He's fire preaching up there, rebuking.
Yep.
You're going to die. You guys are done. And then he leaves, and this guy wants to go follow. Oh, I heard this guy's over here preaching hard. Let me go find him.
Yeah, let me go simmer him down a little bit.
Lie to him.
This guy's being too contentious.
That's like Bob Gray Jr.
Yeah, he's being contentious. Why is he fighting to the end?
That is Bob Gray Jr.
What's this guy, a post-tribber or something?
Yep. Mid-tribber?
I wonder if this because they don't want anybody else to fight more is because they feel guilty themselves because they're not fighting anymore.
Probably.
Like, hey,
or maybe
take
they,
it easy. Like.
Well, sometimes maybe what it is, they're so weak. You know what I mean? Yeah, they don't want anyone to outshine them or something.
Yeah.
So instead of like encouraging the young prophet and be like, hey, preach on, brother. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead, they're just like, let me give you a word of advice. Yeah, you know, these new IFBers, they just think that they literally believe they're going to have to fight until the very end.
That's they really think Josiah is going to come and burn these bones on the altar.
Dude, you
burn these bones.
I want to be like Elisha.
Yeah.
You know how powerful Elisha was? Not only was he a strong preacher, mm-hmm. he was fierce in his preaching, in his miracles, but the guy dies. They bury him.
Yeah,
people land on his bones
and come back to life.
Yeah, bro, that's like Like, if I ever die, I want my sermons to be able to do that. Yeah. Where people are just, like, not right with God, and then they listen to one of my sermons, and they're just like, dang, you know? Like, yeah. Just come to life.
That thing's on a CD?
How crazy is that? Elisha.
Yeah.
Because he did twice. He had double portion
yeah.
of Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So think about this. Like, Elijah could be represent in a sense, like the old IFB.
Yeah, like Jack Hiles.
Like a Jack Hiles.
Yeah. Because people still listen to his sermons
absolutely.
Today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
But we want to double. I do. Dude, Jack Hiles is awesome. Oh,
yeah. His sermons, will fire you
I don't even know where to find
Jack Hiles is one of my favorite pre-tribbers.
Yeah, his sermons are they're good, man.
He's one of my favorite pre-tribbers, man. Oh, yeah. That guy never. He's another example of someone who didn't change at the very
yeah.
end.
Oh, yeah.
He was hard till the very end.
Yep.
There's people who hate him, but let him. Haters gonna hate. Yeah. He was hard to the very end. He fought for the King James Bible to the very end.
And soul winning, big time.
And soul winning. He did a lot of great exploits. You know what we want? We want a double portion of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but these lame old prophets. And you know what? You know I called out Bob Gray Jr. in my sermon.
What?
Some of my sermons.
A couple and, sermons. And memes.
People are like mad about it. Are you going to take a spiritual 45 caliber and aim it at the guy who got what? You saved?
You got a desert. Mine says Desert Eagle down the side of mine.
Yours says replica. Yeah. I'm like, and I told him, yeah. Any confusion? They're all, nah. First of all, Bob Gray Jr. did not get me saved. He preached at a youth conference where I was at. He preached the gospel. I came down to an old-fashioned altar, and the soul winner at the altar got me saved. But I definitely accredited him for partaking in that labor of planting the seed. Mm-hmm. That's why I've always said I got saved under the preaching of Bob Gray Jr., because that's what happened. But you know what? The truth is not a respecter of people, and I'm not going to be led astray. I don't want to be like the young prophet.
Yeah.
I know what God's word says. I know where my stance is supposed to be. And you know what? I'm leery of people who change. Men are not with them who are given to change.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. And you know what Bob Gray Jr. is doing? He's moving the landmarks a little bit. In fact, he's moving it a lot of it because he's not only compromising, he's like affiliating and associating himself with devils.
Yep.
Known as Old Paths Baptist Church in Manly Perry. You know? So people can get mad at that all they want. You can follow a multitude to do evil. Doesn't make what you're doing is right.
They're being a respecter of persons by saying, oh, this guy's older than you. This guy got you saved. That means you can't like call him out. Well, what was Paul? Paul was like the apostle born out of due time.
Exactly.
Right. He was younger than all
Peter to the he withstood Peter to the face.
Yeah. He was younger than all the other apostles. Right. Not younger in age, spiritually but speaking. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That sermon you preached, the Acts sermon. Was just so irrefutable. It was so, and what's crazy about it is that
so relevant
is that, that his last words to Timothy, and then what he says right after that, he's like, I fought the good fight, finished the faith. Then right after that, he just starts calling out all these people. And then he ends his writings forever. He's like, the last thing I'm gonna write is I'm gonna call these guys out. Demas forsook me.
Yeah, having loved Alexander the
coppersmith. Yeah.
Yep.
Like those are his last words.
Yeah.
The Lord reward him according to his work.
Yeah.
It's like at the end of his Christian life.
He was contentious.
Yeah, at the end of his Christian life, the last thing he says. He's
calling people out.
He's calling people out.
He's calling people out to the very
spirit of hate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, this guy's bitter. Yeah.
He must have been one of those new IFBers.
Well, think about this. Think about this. Revelation chapter 2. When God is praising the church at Ephesus, what does he say? He says, thou canst not bear them which are evil.
Yeah.
Thou triest them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Mm. And these are things that he's praising them for. Because he says, nevertheless, have somewhat against thee. So the insinuation there is that he was previously saying is not what he has against them. He just has this one thing against them, that they're not soul winning.
Yeah, they're not soul winning.
And, you know, Ephesus probably got right with God after that.
Yeah.
He's like, well, we just got a letter from Jesus Christ himself, folks. Let's just go ahead and start soul winning here.
Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, this came out of Jesus' mouth. He didn't say, thou canst not bear them which are evil. You need to be more compassionate. You need to give Manly Perry a phone call. He says, thou canst not bear them which are evil.
You have tried them.
You have tried them, which say they're apostles or not, and has found them liars.
It's like the tables.
You know, the greatest satisfaction. One of the greatest satisfaction for a righteous man is to find out some wicked individual is just lying.
Mm-hmm.
Because we love the truth.
Yep.
And when we find people perverting the truth,
yep,
and you discover that, it's just like, oh, you're a liar.
It isn't the whole Bible is like one of the main plots is that the father of lies is going to get thrown into hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to get destroyed by God.
Yep.
So it's like, therefore, when someone's lying, I mean, yeah, it's a big deal.
We should
deal.
Hate lying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should hate lying, especially when a so-called man of God does it.
Yeah.
And then when you have saved people like Bob Gray Jr. backing those people up, it infuriates me. Makes me mad.
Being a Jehoshaphat.
He's being a Jehoshaphat because he's teaming up with Ahab.
Yeah.
He's helping the ungodly and loving those who hate the Lord. And make no mistake about it, Manly Perry hates God.
Mm-hmm.
He hates him. Because he's perverting the way,
his ways.
He's denying the fact that he died.
Yeah.
You know.
How can you say God died? Stupid. Foolish.
Yeah.
Is what he says.
Yep.
We don't worship a bobblehead, dashboard,
that's
Jesus.
Blasphemy.
It's funny because he's like saying, he's all, that's the most blasphemous thing that like a Baptist preacher can ever say. He's like, I've never heard anything blasphemous.
And then he said it too, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He said something way more blasphemous.
But I'm like, my pastor, my old pastor, Pastor Hampton, he used to teach Jesus went to hell.
Dude. Like, well, no, but the funny thing is, mm-hmm, is that he's saying it's super blasphemous.
Yeah.
He's never heard a Baptist preacher said it, but he himself has preached it.
Yeah.
Dude,
why doesn't anybody from his church address that? Hey, Curtis, why don't you address that?
Or what's his name? Noah.
Yeah, why don't you guys address that?
Jocelyn's
the whole thing
husband.
That he literally got up
and
said, this is the most blasphemous teaching. I've never heard a Baptist preacher say it, yet he was preaching it. Not only was he preaching it a couple of years ago, he was praising other pastors for preaching it, saying that he learned something new.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you address that, OPBC? Instead of just being blind and just looking the other way, hearing no evil, speaking no evil, seeing no evil, why don't you call him down on the carpet for that? That's called hypocrisy.
Well, he repented in the comments, remember?
Yeah, yeah. He prayed his little pharisaical prayer. Yeah. Of course, he has
in the corner
to.
Of the comments.
It's on YouTube.
Are people still doing that? They're praying in the comment sections and stuff?
That's how Bob Gray prays. Not Bob Gray. That's how Manly Perry prays every day, probably.
This is really funny. We were...
He Googles it's a good prayer. List pops up.
Dude,
no, I like this one.
On Tuesday night, me and Marcos were in the room, and in live stream chat, some dude called Dean puts in this giant prayer. I forget even what it was about.
And then I started preaching on that.
And then literally like 15 minutes later, you start preaching against people like praying on YouTube, praying out loud.
And she backed
Yeah, because some lady was like,
yeah,
some lady was getting mad at us. She's like, oh, if like the chat is anything like Pastor Mejia's church, then I don't want to be a part of his church.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, we're just telling them not to pray. It's like,
well, yeah. Like, it is like the chat room because when people get on the chat room and start cussing and stuff, you know, if someone were to come into our church and start, you know, cussing and disrupting, then you will get thrown out.
Yeah.
So it is like the chat room.
Because it's like, you can do anything in the chat room. I was like, well, no, you can't because you can't teach heresy. You can't say anything vulgar.
If that was,
and then like,
then why would there be a moderator feature?
Yeah.
If you could do anything in the chat room, then how come I could delete your message?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm basically.
Watch me do it.
I'm basically like an electronic usher. I'll usher you out.
Time for you to go.
Compromise. Yeah. Yep.
Time you out for 300
seconds. I'm an usher. My name's Raymond, but I ain't Usher Raymond.
Hey, I like Benaiah.
Yeah.
Benaiah did great works in the very beginning, and he did great works all the way to the very end. Because Benaiah slew two lion-like men, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he also slew a lion in a pit in a day of snow.
Yeah, snowy day.
Just heard
right?
that. Oh, that was good.
And not only that, but he also took care of Joab.
Yeah. He fought an Egyptian. A tall Egyptian.
He came at him with a staff.
And he had a staff.
And he plucked the spear out of his hand and he slew him.
With his own spear.
Yeah.
Savage.
But that was in the beginning. Yeah. So he did great works in the beginning, but he also did great works at the very end.
Yeah.
Because when David passed off the scene and the throne went to Solomon, Solomon sent Benaiah to go handle all these enemies.
Yeah.
Including Joab.
Yep.
And, you know, he went over there to go slay Joab, and Joab was holding on to the horns of the altar. he went back to Solomon and was just like, he says to, he'd rather just die at the horns of the altar. And Solomon said, if that's what he wants, to do it there. She went and he slew him there. Benaiah stayed faithful even to the very end.
Yeah.
You know, so I like the examples of the Bible of men who stuck it out to the very end, and they were hard preachers to the very end. They were faithful to God to the very end. Mm-hmm. Not these compromising, you know, people. And look, there's no new thing under the sun. Mm-hmm. Just as there was compromisers in the Bible, there's compromisers today in independent fundamental Baptist churches. And Bob Gray Jr. is a compromiser.
Oh, yeah.
And you can cut that. You can send it over to him. Text it to him, Manly Perry, if you want to. If you want to. Let him know what I said.
Clip it.
Upload it. Do whatever you got to do.
Make it a ringtone.
Put it
you
in could a remix.
Put a link. You could put a link to this podcast on there.
Throw it on a turntable.
Yeah.
Say
it at your next compromiser. At your next
this is what Bob Gray told me. He said when he wanted me to take down the video, he didn't ask me to. I was like, but he was insinuating it, and I told him, I was like, do you want me to take this down, the video down? And this is what he said: or make another one. You can make another one. I'm like, what?
When you said that in the sermon, I started busting up.
It's funny.
Or you're like, oh, he, you know how he answered him? He's all yes, no,
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 yes,
no, yes,
yes,
no,
yes, yeah, yes, no, 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 yes, no, yes. You shouldn't be mocking people. Well, he's making a mockery of being men of God.
Yeah.
He's making a mockery of Christianity.
Is this guy from Long Beach?
No. He's from Texas. Longview.
When Saul started doing wrong and started disobeying, well, what he was disobeying was not going hard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't like
he wasn't
like,
fulfilling.
Like God's
the
like kill everybody,
command.
And he's like, oh, well, I'm just gonna leave these people alive.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave Agag alive. I'm gonna leave the
animals
alive.
He's like leaving people alive. Kill them.
Yep.
Take them now. They're crying about us because we're spiritually. You know, you're gonna whack this guy off because he's over there preaching.
Yep.
Jesus,
so you know what?
Die.
So that means Samuel had to go in and handle the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not
don't
gonna
send
be
a boy
like
to take to do a man's job. You know.
Yeah.
And then David comes along. He's like cutting the heads off giants, carrying it around.
That's funny because he preached that. Remember?
Yep.
No, that was Mike.
No,
Johnson.
No, that was
Michael
Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
The other
Michael Johnson.
Not Michael Johnson, the devil heretic.
And then the guy killed the lion like men and then kills
Benaiah?
But the guy before the other ones, I mean, he killed 800 people and his hand clayed for the sword.
Oh yeah.
I mean
Eliezer.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
He slew
with his sword men. And he fought for so long that his sword just clave to his hand just clave to the sword. Just couldn't let go.
1,000 Philistines he slayed.
Yeah,
there's another guy too,
and you're
where
just
he just like,
you're just like oh.
He just like stood there to defend like a garden of lentils basically. Just he says that he stood his ground basically like just
yeah.
He stood there by himself.
David's mighty man.
Yeah. I like when the Bible says like oh, but these three didn't attain to those first three.
Yeah,
it can make that place like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're
oh,
like
by
those
the way,
first three.
So though. Speaking of that. That's describing all of David's mighty men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one who's not honored in that list was Joab.
Yeah.
His brother was honored.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that Abishai was with them,
mm-hmm.
but it never honored Joab. Like he was mentioned as being the brother of
Abishai. It names a long list of guys.
Yeah.
It gives those first three and the next three. Like what the acts they actually did, and then it just lists like a bunch of warriors.
But Joab never
and they
was,
get their name in the book, you know, for all
but
time.
But Joab is like never mentioned. Because and Joab did a lot of quote unquote like great exploits in a sense. Like he was a mighty warrior, but the dude is just shady though.
Yeah.
And then you know what when he kills when they kill Abner?
Yes.
And then he said like well the you know, that blood's gonna be upon you guys. Your family you know, that cursed them.
Yeah.
Their family.
Yeah, because he was just a shady individual.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he killed Amasa,
mm-hmm.
when he smote him under the fifth rib just because he wouldn't
and
hurry
that's mentioned.
Up. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the factors on him.
Yep. He slew him under the fifth rib, and then he covered him in a cloth because everyone kept looking at him like, I can't believe Joab just did this. So he covered him in a cloth, and he moved him out of the road. And he was just, the Bible says that he was wallowing in his blood.
So wait, he didn't die when he got stabbed under the fifth.
Well, I mean, wallowing this just means that he just
doesn't that mean he was like still alive?
He said he cut his guts out too. Yeah. His guts came out too.
Well, I mean, something if like you're that. Being smitten under the fifth rib, you're just dying, is what it is.
Oh, okay.
Wallowing in your blood is just blood's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, obviously he was pretty aggressive. He was fierce as well because he was on the way to destroy what's his name? Oh man, I forgot his name. The son of Bic Rai. Adam Fannin, the son of Bic Rai.
Oh.
What's his name?
A something, isn't it?
No. It's the son of Bic Rai.
I know, but I got another question about this after this. I still got it.
Sheba, the son of Bic Rai. Mm-hmm. That was a cool story. Because then the lady just lops over his head, decapitated head.
Yeah.
That's
throws it over the wall. Yeah.
Well, they're like, you know, we just need this one guy. And she's like, say no more.
Yeah.
We already know what you
say
guys
less.
Want.
Say less.
Yeah. And she like they go over. I mean, you don't even know what happened. They just grab him. They slice off his head. And then they throw it over.
Hey, yeah. in Canada, they have decathlons, huh?
What the heck is that?
It's like, you know how like a triathlon has like three events that you go through? But over there, I guess they have like 10 events.
I've never heard of that in my life.
No?
No. What are the 10 events?
So like you would have like a marathon, then you have like a swimming, and then I forgot what the other one is. But like
curling?
The other one's like, but it's like it's a constant marathon. Like you're always like
I've never
going.
Heard of that in my life.
No?
Decathlon.
Yeah, there's like...
Decathlon. You've heard of it?
Yeah.
There's like 10 events. A triathlon has three, and then like decathlon has 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of them, I think, is like skiing while like shooting a bow and arrow or something like that.
What the heck?
Yeah.
What? That sounds stupid.
That's 10 different things that you do.
Yeah.
Is that in the Olympics or whatever?
No,
that's
I think like, it's just
that's
like...
That's actually how you say...
10?
10 in Greek.
Deca.
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 It's like decimal.
Well, isn't
so
like
deca
don't our months
deca.
aren't they supposed to go along with like the according to the number in order that they're supposed to be in? Like December is supposed to be actually like the 10th month.
It was, but then there was two Roman emperors
yeah.
who named months after them. It was Augustus who named August after himself, and then Julius Caesar who named July after himself.
Mm, they messed it up.
And a Caesarean. Just kidding. He was born of a Caesarean, right?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's why they named it at like
yeah,
that, right?
A C-section.
Yeah.
Oh, not Caesarean. Caesarean.
Caesarean. Caesarean sounds like something I eat.
I was like, is that?
That's actually how I was born.
Caesarean.
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 Ah,
you had pizza?
Assyrian. Oh, not Assyrian.
Caesarean.
Caesarean pizza.
I'm Mexican.
Assyrian. Assyrian. Caesarean. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
So when I think of Bob Gray Jr., I think of Ahithophel.
I thought you were going to say Assyrian.
Because Ahithophel was David's counselor. He was his advisor. And then when Absalom turned against David, Ahithophel left David and joined himself to Absalom.
Didn't he kill himself?
And he basically, yeah, because Absalom did not take heed to his counsel. But I think of it because Psalm 55, verse 14 says, "We took sweet counsel together." Or let me read the whole verse, actually, the verse before that. This is what it reminds me of here. I'll be honest with you. I've been grieved over this.
Oh, is this the Psalm of David where he talks about?
Yes. He says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." And he's talking about Ahithophel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because that was his advisor, his counselor. But then he's counseling against David. So he's joining himself with Absalom to kill David. And it hurt David, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was like, it kind of reminds me of me.
No, yeah, because like...
Like me and Bob Gray.
Because like, he even says like, hey, it's like if it was like someone that was like my enemy, I could have, you know, borne it. Like it's like,
yeah.
If it was like Manly Perry, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, like Manly Perry, yeah, when he says things, it's just like, who cares what that guy says?
You're a dumb hick.
Like, yeah, exactly. But it's just like, but this is like a man who was like my guide. He was a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. He was someone who I esteemed. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man.
It just sucks.
You just like, you're just joining Absalom, you know? So, but at the end of the day, that the principle there, because what happens to Ahithophel is he hangs himself. So what Bob Gray is doing is that he's just preparing a rope to hang himself with. Mm-hmm. Because when you join the people, the these wicked people, and you begin to affiliate and associate with yourself with them and make an affinity with them and all this, you know, wrath is going to come upon you.
Would you say Ahithophel is kind of like a picture of Judas?
Yeah. Actually, I preached about that a couple months ago. And I was talking about how he was, he's like very figure. There's a lot of parallels, figurative of Judas Iscariot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I was just listening to 2 Samuel, and then this is a side note. So Absalom, I don't know, when I was listening to this, I couldn't help but this came into my mind. So Absalom, he gets hung in a tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets killed, and then they cast his body into a pit, probably stones upon him.
Yeah.
And then David is weeping for him. Oh, my son. It was just like, do you think Absalom kind of pictures
Jesus
taking on the sin? Like when he gets forsaken cursed, by God? Because then,
cursed is he who hangs on the tree, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because then I had taken these notes. I just seen, I think Pastor Aronson preached about this. He said it's the first time victory was used to mourn. So it's like the opposite, because it says...
turn into mourning?
Yeah, turn into mourning.
Yeah.
And also, like, remember when God and then, told him, like, there's going to be, like, blood that shall be upon his house?
And then Joab starts accusing God and, like, going after God. He's like, oh, these people are your enemies. Like, people are who disobeying you, and you're just, like, for them, and we're your friends. And,
yeah.
And you're not, if all of us died, you wouldn't care as long as Absalom lived. Mm-hmm. So that kind of represents the devil there, kind of, no?
Yeah.
A little bit. I don't know, it's kind of weird. I was just listening to it. I was like, man, that's kind of...
Yeah, because he was, Jesus Christ was in a sepulcher covered by a stone.
Yeah, and then they throw him in a pit, his body in a pit, and then they cast all these stones upon him. And
Jesus goes into a pit.
He went to the bottomless pit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, and David pictures like God the Father.
Weeping for his son. He's like, oh, Absalom. Oh. And then, because when I was listening to it, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, man, this is probably how God the Father felt when all the sin was upon Jesus. He had to forsake his son, and then he died. He probably just probably like felt. It's kind of like a prophecy.
Someone in the comment section, this is stupid. No, Absalom was wicked. How are you guys going to compare him like that?
Jesus was like the serpent lifted up in the wilderness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jesus represented the serpent.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I love that type of stuff in the Bible.
Yeah, the pictures.
Those people in the comments.
You have to be spiritual to get that.
Those people in the comments can probably take solace in the fact that, like, so many characters in the Bible picture Jesus. I mean, David pictures God the Father and
they're all
Absalom
sinners.
There, right there. But also David is also a picture of Jesus, too.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We're not saying that Absalom and everything that he did was Jesus. It's just there's a specific event that happened in Absalom's life
that
can parallel the relationship between God the Father and Jesus.
Yeah.
Just as
it's a foreshadowing.
It's a foreshadowing because Absalom was David's son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who hung on a tree. He died. He was smitten. Yep. Right? Because they smote him.
Yeah, didn't he get stabbed with the darts?
Joab threw
He threw a dart at him just
So they could but they conspired. But they conspired because David's like, save him alive, don't kill him. And then Joab comes and finds, he's like, he hears that, oh, he's hanging in that tree.
Joab
comes
is like
sees him and he just thrust him through with those darts.
Just as Jesus was pierced with a spear.
And then the 10 men that bear Joab's armor, they basically get him down from the tree. I guess he's still, I don't know, if he's taking his last breath or whatever, then they all kill him. Then they cast him in there and throw all these stones upon him.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Well, you know what's crazy about that is...
That's good.
Remember, you're looking too much into it, but still, it's good to surmise sometimes.
Yeah, go on, say it.
So because I was just thinking, so do you remember when Jesus died? He was in the pit, and John and Peter are running.
They're racing.
And you remember what the Bible says?
Oh!
John. Yeah.
Oh!
Hold up, bro. Hey,
I don't get it
put yet. The headphones back on.
I don't get it yet.
Hold on. I'm building it up right now.
Oh!
But now you know why. Now you know why it says that the disciple outran Peter.
Mm-hmm.
The disciple whom Jesus loved, referring to John, outran Peter because two men were running to bring tidings.
Oh, yeah.
Of Absalom's and the other one, the one that brings the good tidings, he outran him.
Yeah. Cushai and Ahimaaz, sorry, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? Let me just...
22.
Great story.
Yeah, because he's like, can I run too? And then, like, I mean...
He's like, you didn't have anything to talk about. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I mean, if you want
to
go.
He says, but howsoever said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai.
Mm-hmm.
And David sat between the two gates, and watchmen went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. So it's just like, you know, Peter and John running, and then it says literally that the disciple whom Jesus loved outran Peter. I always that has always bothered me when I've read that. I'm like, why does it goes out of its way to say that he outran him?
Like, why is that an important detail?
Yeah. Because, you know, obviously, like, when you read the Gospels, you kind of get the feeling that there was always a little bit of competition between John and Peter.
Yeah.
Because though John outran Peter and made it to the sepulcher first, Peter is actually the one who actually went inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's Cushai that outruns him, right?
Hymas.
Or it's a Hymas that outruns him.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I love stuff like that. I love finding parallels in the Bible like that.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, this doesn't necessarily change anything.
No.
But it just gives you a greater appreciation for God's Bible. Yeah. It's just so perfect and wonderful. It makes you stand in awe of his word.
I saw an image like a while ago that like maps every single cross reference in the Bible. You might have seen it before, but it's like New Testament, Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And literally there's like 10,000 lines like going between the New Testament of just random references, not random obviously, but like references.
I would never want to look at that.
I throw up.
No, because I just like finding those on my own, you know.
Well, no, it doesn't tell you. It just like points like, well, this chapter references this chapter.
It's crazy. When that happens, Ahimaaz, he tells him, and then the king sees him coming. And he's like, no, he's a good man. He brings good tidings.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about talks
about the good about tidings,
John. Right. Then he tells him,
all
is well, and he fell down on his face to the earth and said, blessed is the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord thy king. And the king said, is Absalom safe? He doesn't answer him. He's like, well, I didn't see. I just saw this great tumult. I don't know. And then Cushai comes, and he's the one that tells him that he's dead.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, this day the Lord avenged thee this day all them that rose up against thee.
That's crazy, because like Peter, he was like also the one, like, for example, like Cushai, he was the one that saw everything that was going on. Like, he's actually the one that saw, like, hey, step by step. But, like, the other guy, he's like, I just saw a great tumult, right?
And then, dude, that's Peter, like Peter and John.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, because Peter was in.
Peter was standing afar off. Yeah,
and he saw everything.
But John, the Bible says that when John went in, they let him go in because he knew the people in there.
But who was
they let him go in.
Go in where?
When he was being tried. Mm-hmm. Peter viewed everything as a tumult.
Yeah.
Because he was standing afar off. Mm-hmm. Whereas John was actually there. Yeah. He was actually there throughout the whole time. Very interesting. Man, that's good stuff. I love that stuff. Isn't that satisfying to the soul?
That's cool.
Like, I just figured that out right now.
Yeah.
Because I preached on that. I preached on Cushai and Ahimaaz.
Yeah.
Yeah, like having tidings. Like,
yeah, like sure don't be prepared. Yeah, be a Cushai, don't be an Ahimaaz kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, people are just full of activity and they're running, but they don't even have glad tidings. Like, they're not prepared. They're not the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah,
Cushai had the glad tidings. Like, he had the tidings. He knew what he was doing. He wasn't cutting corners. Ahimaaz was cutting corners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he had nothing to give, you know? So it's like basically two men bringing a message. But now this has just gone deeper, though.
Yeah.
Dude, no matter how many times I've read the Bible, like, I'm just constantly learning something. Yeah. The Bible's always teaching me something new. It kind of doesn't make you stand in awe of his word. We're just like, infinite. Dude, man, God's like word is so deep. It's deep.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. Did Pastor Anderson preach on that?
No, I just had, I don't know what he preached. I just had the note where it says that the victory was turned to mourning, and then I just have a note. And I'm pretty sure I was listening to him where he said that. All right, here's the first time victory's turned to mourning. And he probably said something about represents Jesus there or something.
That's cool. That's awesome.
That's all I had was a note there that said victory turned to mourning. First time it happens or something like that.
That's awesome. Hey, that's why it's important that you allow the Bible to dictate your life.
Mm-hmm.
Engulf yourself in the Bible.
What about commentaries?
Don't engulf yourself in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we need to use social media, and you cannot be necessarily an effective Christian in 2020 or going on 2021 without being on social media. Mm-hmm. Got to be on social media. you know, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Use all these platforms. TikTok. You're on TikTok, right?
Yeah.
You're doing your little dances and stuff. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Nah, I see your videos.
Romans 5:8.
No, you've been preaching doctrine on there. And
a lot of false doctrine it's on there.
That's yeah. Why. What'd you say?
It's a lot of false doctrine on there. That's why someone.
I didn't say that. I preach a lot of false doctrine.
But I've also, because of that, I came across like random other guys that are like other Baptists around, like saved, yeah. And they're on there doing the same thing, basically.
Yeah. It's important, you know? But here's the thing is that we can't allow those avenues and those mediums, so to speak, to like control the way we think. Mm-hmm. A lot of fear mongering going on today, you know, where people are just freaking out regarding like the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yeah, they're so worried about what's going on in the world or like what appertains to the flesh.
Exactly.
I don't understand it.
And here's the thing. Obviously, like people in the world should be afraid. Because their future is uncertain still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for Christians, our future is not uncertain. You know, we already know what happens. And we have God on our side. We're in Goshen. And you know what? It might get worse. And, you know, people are freaking out about the COVID-19 vaccine. Let me just go on record to say that I'm completely against the vaccine, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm against all vaccines.
Yeah.
Period. You know, you can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. They that are whole have no need of a physician, the Bible says. You know, we should not allow unclean things such as aluminum and polysorbate 80 and, you know, all these carcinogenic just substances into your body, things that can surpass the blood-brain barrier and cause all these, you know, reactions in your body and just destroy your body, especially in the body of a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But here's the thing. If it gets to a point, people are not going to like this, but the reason they don't like it is because their faith is in the government. Their faith is in the world more than in the word of God.
Yep.
And, you know, if they pin me down and give me the vaccine, it's like, okay, obviously I'm going to do whatever it takes not to get it.
Suck it out. Like,
right?
Like venom?
Yeah. Obviously I'm going to do whatever it takes not to get it. But if it gets to a point where it's just like, no, you have to get it, and they're like enforcing it upon you, well, you know what? I'm not worried because I have a resurrected body that I'm going to receive.
Yeah.
And look, folks, if you're freaking out over the vaccine, then you need to start reading your Bible more. You need to pray more. Okay? You need to walk with God. And you got to realize that if you're afraid of that, you're definitely not going to make it through the tribulation.
Yeah, probably not.
Because the tribulation is way worse.
A lot worse than aluminum.
Aluminum.
Monkey parts.
And the monkey parts and the polysorbate 80. The polysherbert 80.
They're putting ice cream in that. I want it.
Ice cream vaccine.
Yeah, like I'm not going to end my soul winning career on Earth for anything other than the gospel.
Look, obviously we want to fight the battles on different fronts, but there's certain battles that are more important than others.
Yeah, like I'm not going to die and end my career soul winning and can go to heaven because of a vaccine. Not happening, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to get, if I have to get the vaccine, then I get it and I continue.
Yeah, obviously it's never going to get to that point. But, you know, because people have asked me, they're like, what are you going to do if they like start enforcing? I'm like, well, I'll do whatever it takes to not get it. And then they go, they're like, but what if they just enforce it?
Exactly.
And then it's just like, okay, well, if they force me, they pin me down and give it to me, then I guess I'll just take it because I'm going to get a resurrected body. And they're like, no, not me, man. I'm going to do whatever it takes.
That's what's weird.
I just said that.
Yeah. What's wrong with
you? We're like, what if they force you? It's like, well, then what am I supposed to do?
What am I going to do? Move to an island somewhere?
But here's the thing.
Like, what if they chloroform you? You're sleeping, and then they give it to you. What are you going to do?
What if
I'm going to wake up. Like,
these people. What if you
or not?
I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up with vaccines.
You're like, nah.
Yeah, they get mad about that.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
What if you have no
choice? They give you a scenario where you could only get the vaccine, and then you say, well, then I guess I got to get it.
And they're like, oh,
whoa.
I just kill myself.
I hate vaccines, and I preach against vaccines, and I'm completely 100% against vaccines, but that is not a hill I'm going to die on because I'm a Bible-believing Christian.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, these people, they always make, like, these what-if crazy scenarios, and because they're like, projecting what they...
Afraid.
Yeah,
that's
they're
what's going on inside themselves. Yeah.
They're afraid.
Yeah.
Like, they're laying down to go to sleep at night, and they're like, oh, they're thinking up these scenarios. They're like, they're dreaming about
they're
it.
They're like...
They're waiting, they're like...
They're like sleeping in armor.
Yeah.
It's like when you're daydreaming in like class or something, you're thinking, what if somebody broke in here with a gun right now? What would I do?
Yeah. It's irrational fears.
Yeah.
Irrational fears.
It's a crazy reality.
I think sometimes Christians, they think that like maybe this vaccine caught God off guard or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, he didn't talk about this in the Bible. Wait, what are we supposed to do with this?
What is this
like,
in Revelation?
Yeah, it's like...
Wait, Bill Gates is the answer.
So it's like, that's what I'm telling you. You talk about you're going to survive the tribulation.
Yeah.
You know, are you really going to do it? Because it's a lot worse than the vaccine. The tribulation is way worse. It's going to be so bad. Really bad. I mean, we're talking about death on a massive scale, disease on a massive scale. Yeah,
third
scale.
Part of the earth. Like,
we're talking about animals eating people.
Yeah, fourth part, yeah.
Talking about people, animals eating people. You know, I mean, it's going to be bad. And if you're freaking out over this, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's only going to get worse.
You say a cheetah?
Some people think that they're going to be in this body forever or something. Yeah.
Why is everybody making a podcast now?
Yeah, why is everyone making a podcast now? You know what?
I know why, but like, why?
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 Why? Welcome to the old-fashioned...
Just get your own shtick, man.
Well, false prophets talk all day long. Old false prophets just make teach all kinds of damned heresy, brother.
Am I watching?
Or you might find an ox out in your backyard.
Charlie Brown right now?
Is this Charlie Brown? Nature guy.
He sounds like the adult from Charlie Brown. He's like, wah-wah.
I sell propane and propane.
You're welcome to... Old Propane Baptist Church.
Isn't Manly Perry from North Carolina?
Yeah.
Yes.
So isn't why did Michael, you talk like that, right?
Isn't Michael Johnson also from North Carolina?
Yeah.
What's going on with North Carolina?
The new Florida.
Florida .5.
It's like the whole East Coast is getting affected by that like amoeba eating disease. Nah, except Pastor Jason Robinson.
Yeah.
He's not on East Coast. He's from Virginia.
And
yeah, he's Pastor Shelley. Yeah, Pastor Shelley. They're holding down the Florida.
Pastor Shelley's from Texas. What?
Yeah, he's from the South.
Yeah.
Pastor Shelley's awesome, man.
Isn't he originally from California?
He's from New York originally. I think he was born in New York.
He's from the Bronx. The Bronx.
Don't quote me on that, though, because I don't know.
Pastor Shelley's origin story, you're just making them up.
I think Pastor Shelley was in New York. He was in World War II, actually. Just kidding.
He's actually really awesome, old. Man. He fought crime in New York.
Pastor Shelley's working on a documentary right now.
Excited.
It's called The Sodomite Deception, and man, am I excited about that! I get to be a part of the making of the introduction, and Louisa Kanzari is assisting in the arts.
Who dat?
Your wife, dude. She's talented.
Yeah.
The second panel she sent is awesome.
The green and red one with all the colors.
What? I didn't see that. The green and red one. This is the only one
What is that?
The colors just show the different
panels. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the second panel.
Dang.
Well, when he smites them. So anyways, let's see. So look, the solution to this fear mongering is that you just need to get in the Word of God.
Because
God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Yeah, make
some
memes.
Have a sound mind.
Yeah.
Or just have a sound. Just be in the Bible and renew your mind.
Yep.
Have a sound mind.
Yeah,
and if you are given over to fear, then you need to like get off the social media, get off the news, and mitigate that as much as possible, because obviously that's not helping. You know, sometimes it is ignorant, or it is bliss to be ignorant about certain things, and some people can't handle all the media and everything that's taking place. People are losing their minds.
Yep.
You know,
like these people right here.
Yeah. That's the one I was showing you.
Yeah. This looks great. Please add tears.
Oh, yeah. That's what I put. That's what I responded with. I was like, this looks great. Please add tears. But what I'm saying is, you know, just get in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Be sound. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And you know what? I have a lot of truthers that follow me on Instagram. I have a lot of truthers. More than half of my followers are these truthers who are not Baptist, and they're just freaking out over this whole thing. They're losing their minds. And I'm like, it's Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And they're posting stuff about like just fear and vaccines and the world's coming to an end.
Can you just I'm enjoy like, life yeah. for I'm like, one day?
Can you
day?
Say like Merry Christmas? Like
enjoy time with your family.
Yeah, like, no.
No, those truthers are the same truthers who are like, Christmas is pagan.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
have
right.
a Christmas tree in your house.
This should be a thing is that if you can't pay attention to what's going on politically and all that stuff without having joy in your life still and being happy person, then you shouldn't be paying attention to it.
Exactly.
Just if you haven't built up enough spirit to you to where that stuff doesn't like if you don't, it's not affecting your happiness and your friendships and your life. Like
there was
once you start becoming weird, you need to stop being weird, dude.
Dude, you know how sad that Star Bethlehem segment never made it into the podcast.
Yeah.
Just clip it into this one.
We're
like
we're dressed different.
We're all sitting in different areas. I just randomly appear in high school.
Star of Bethlehem, is it gone?
Flat Earthers are all freaking out.
I'm going to refer to you as Hike for the rest of the podcast.
Illuminati. The Star of Bethlehem, that's already done, right?
Yeah, we all.
I'm saying as far as because or they say it lasts for a couple weeks.
No, it already happened.
Yeah. I'm talking about obviously it's.
Is it still like.
It happened 2,000 years ago, Pastor.
What?
I don't think they're lined up still.
They're not lined up anymore.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel it in my chakras.
I have a picture where like they're coming together like. Every day, someone's taking a picture, and then you see like this V in the
together,
and they're just like,
shh. It's cool. I don't believe it's the literal Star of Bethlehem. We'll just throw it into this
makes
one.
Makes no sense.
Were you guys able to see like Jupiter? Or
okay. Here was another thing.
What
about the Star of Bethlehem? Sorry, because this is about the Bible. So
go ahead.
They're following the star. They see that Star of Bethlehem. They come, and then but dude, a bunch of time's gone by. This thing's still there.
Yeah,
it didn't like it just came and then went, just like it did the other day. I mean, this thing's there for like weeks or however long it took for them to come, and then they go and they see.
But it goes before them.
Yeah, then they see the king, and then they go and see Jesus, and then like, it's like how's this thing just like lined up there for like a month or what?
Well, not just a month. I mean, it was. He was about two years old by the time.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
He was about 2 years old when the wise men got there. So. My theory, obviously, is that the Star of Bethlehem was actually referring to an angel. And that's something I picked up from Chris Carey. Mm-hmm. And when we looked into it, obviously, we already had this conversation, but we should throw it into this podcast anyways. But it's the Star of Bethlehem is actually an angel because it's moving. It's going before them. Many examples in the Bible of angels being mentioned as stars. You have the third part of the stars that are falling from heaven that Satan takes from heaven. Those are referring to angels. You have the stars singing in Job 38, right? You have wandering stars that the Bible refers to as devils, which are fallen angels. You have Apollyon in Revelation chapter 9, referred to as a star, which can theoretically also mean that Wormwood in Revelation chapter 8 is also an angel, not a literal star, but rather an angel because he's troubling the waters. He's coming to trouble the waters, and he's given a name, Wormwood, just as Apollyon is given a name, even though he's described as a star.
Does it refer to Wormwood as he?
No, it just says, and its name is Wormwood.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, is it any coincidence that chapter 8 talks about Wormwood as a star coming to trouble the waters, and then the very next chapter you have a star coming from heaven again, and then it's Apollyon, you know, which is an angel. So, and it has a name, Apollyon, and he's coming to bring forth destruction or something, you know? And I just reminded of the person who was trying to make it into the waters in the gospel because he said at a certain season, an angel came down to trouble the waters. And the only difference is that in Revelation chapter 8, the troubling of the waters is the fact that he's poisoning the waters. But there's a lot of examples of just angels being referred to as stars. So it could be that the Star of Bethlehem was actually an angel, not a star. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the Rod of Iron podcast. We had a good run this year. And obviously, we're coming back 2021. Looking forward to the future episodes. If you have an idea of something you want us to talk about, something you want us to address, put a comment in the section below. And just as a reminder that you can listen to the full episodes, obviously on YouTube, you can go on our website, fwbcla.org, or if you have a subscription to Spotify, you can listen to us on there as well. But we're going to be signing off. Thank you so much for listening. Gentlemen, have a good night. Dun, 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 dun.